Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today here on KKXX. It's a wonderful, beautiful day. Today we have Dr. Judy Bowes with us. She has a ministry that goes from place to place. Judy, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Well, I'm Judy Bowes, and it's good to be here. It's been a year since I've been with you all. And it's good to be here. Did you want to open it in prayer, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go ahead and let me say welcome before we ahead and ask for the Lord to bless this conversation. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for your blessings and your grace and your mercies. We thank you for your promises. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your great patience. And most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who bled and died for our sins, Lord, and through his resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life. And right now, we invite you into this conversation. We pray, Lord, that you, Lord, would anoint this conversation, anoint your word, anoint your ministers, Father God, to bless the listening audience and to uplift your precious Son, Jesus. For you have said when we lift Jesus up, that you would draw all men to him, not to us, to him. So, Father God, we pray that everything we think, say, or do, Lord, would be to your honor and to your kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Judy, you, tell us a little bit about Good News Ministries, because that's your ministry.
Well, it's God's ministry, yes. And we travel the highways and the byways. That's what we do. 23 years we've been on the road. We went off to Bible college 25 years ago. My husband was a contractor, and I was a licensed manicurist in Reno, Nevada. We both did nails, yeah. And I waited 6 years for him to get saved. And when he got saved, he knew we needed to go to Bible college, so we left. Went to Bible college for 2 years in California, and we just never went back. We knew that we were evangelists. We bought a 1953 Greyhound bus, and my husband is a contractor, and got it converted over and never went back. Well, we did go back to sell our home in Reno and been on the road ever since, so our home is where it's parked.
That is outstanding, and that is a life of faith. And you've written a book that said the title of the book is Faith, Does It Really Move Mountains? Tell us a little bit about the mountains that God has moved in your life.
Well, there's challenges all over. And when we left, we had sold most everything. And it was our house that kept us on the road because, as you know, a traveling ministry, evangelists, missionaries, and we're called to the USA. We've been to Russia, we've been to Canada, and we've been to Philippines. I went to the Philippines twice by myself. but the USA is where he's called us, into the highways and the byways. And because we are RVers, and that's what we do, that's a people group, and it's a mindset. So you have to reach the people group. And when you live in a bus, you can reach those that are out there on the highways and the byways. So that's what we do. It has been a road of faith because you live by faith. God took us all the way. Do you remember when the gas went up and the diesel went up to $5 a gallon?
Yes, that hurt.
Our bus gets 5 to 6 miles to the gallon. And he took us all the way to Florida and around. We're usually gone 7-8 months at a time. And I did say to the Lord, I said, do you have any idea what the price is of diesel? And, of course, you know, he'll always kind of chuckle. Our God has a sense of humor. And the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to show us his miracle power. And he opened those doors for us. We went all that way. And I'm here to say in 23 years, whatever is coming down the pike, he always has it handled. always. So I wrote a book about it because we live it.
Is that the On the Road again?
It's the faith book. I wrote a book about faith. And if people will get a hold of the principles of faith, I went to Russia to teach that the year it came out. Get a hold of faith. Faith is what you believe in. And when I got saved and my husband got saved, we changed kingdoms. And when you change kingdoms, you live for the king of the kingdom. And we knew that he is the only journey that we want. And if he calls you on a journey, there's challenges on the journey, but it's a greater opportunity for him to show you his miracle power. It certainly isn't boring.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that, you know, I heard a connection of scripture the other night in a sermon, and it was on Psalm 23. And the connection was this thought: just because you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, don't think that you're not on the path of righteousness that the Lord has you on for his namesake.
Well, true. He lays now. We use that a lot. We use that scripture a lot. But I believe in a death experience, funerals. Mm-hmm. But I believe that scripture is for the living.
It really is. Yes.
That scripture is for the living. I think it should always be lived there because he spreads a whole table out in the midst of wherever we go, whatever we're doing. We're either, you're looking at people that are either saved or not saved. So therefore, it is the shadow of death because there's so many walking around that are not saved, and the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. So we know every day he has a plan for us to kill, steal, and destroy. But the other part of that scripture is, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Which part am I going to walk in the morning?
Absolutely.
When I wake up in the morning, I have to choose because the devil is going to throw everything he can throw at us to keep us out of what God wants us to do. What is grace? Grace is divine enablement with unmerited favor. We have seen the grace of God all along the highways. We have just coming back this year from Crescent City, our bus. We got to my mother's ranch. My mother has a big ranch out here at Gerber. We got to my mother's ranch, and we pulled in, and the bus went dead. It was the compressor or something. But we had to call people to get us. We could have been broke down on the highway somewhere.
Absolutely.
But we have seen that time and time and time again. One time we were in Canada. And I don't know if you know Drumheller. It's Drumheller, Canada. Anyway, it's way up and way down. But we had traveled Canada preaching and doing all this. We got to a place in Colorado, I think. And we found out that we had only one front brake. Now, God brought us there, so we fixed the brake. But the key to that I have found, when you don't know what's going on, God keeps you. But when you know something is going on and you don't fix it, or you don't do something about it, or you say, oh, God will keep me, well.
That's presumption.
That's presumption. There you go. And a lot of people live in presumption. But we have seen down the road, and I can literally say that God has handled every challenge. And all the money has any big project that needs to be done. Keeping a bus on the road costs money. And any big project, we have seen the finances come in before the project has to be done. So I've learned in the 23 years, when it starts coming in, we get prepared that there's something down the road we're going to use it for.
What a word of wisdom.
God is good.
Sometimes our projects and sometimes other people's projects. I think that we're to be liberal with our blessing of others, especially within the kingdom, and also those outside the kingdom. I think Paul it is that says, hey, be liberal in your generosity.
That's right.
We should give. I think it was Jesus that said, give and it should be given unto you.
Right.
Pressed down, shaken together.
That's
and,
right.
And overflowing. So I think the kingdom of believers, I think we need to be givers. I'm so disenchanted when I hear of kingdom people that are miserly, that are preppers, or are saying, well, we just got to hoard all of this or hoard all of that because we don't know what's going to happen. You're right, we don't know what's going to happen. But God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. He said he would take care of us. He said that the righteous, he will deliver the righteous, and it is the wicked that will fall into their own snare. So I think that we should, a part of faith is trust. Trust not ourselves, trust God, and let him, guide our steps. Let him guide our giving. Let him guide, our faith. And if we lack wisdom, James says, well, ask God. He'll give to all liberally, but don't doubt.
Well, I think one of the keys to for the window, it's Malachi, it says that, test me.
Mm-hmm.
Test me in your money. Test me. And it's kind of humorous because there's great liberty in tithing. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't tithe. Or they'll say, it's just not in the New Testament. Well, it was before the law. Tithing came in with Abraham. So let's just quit that issue now. But my husband, I waited 6 years for him to commit to the kingdom of God, 6 years. But after I got saved, I knew that he obviously wanted my husband saved. He knew neither one of us were saved. He knew that we were both having issues. So I really hung on to that he wishes none should perish, and I really hung on to that and prayed for my husband. And I tell women and men everywhere, don't be so quick. Grass is not greener on the other side. Don't be so quick to change because you got saved all of a sudden. Let's throw him out. That's not what God wants us to do. It's by my conduct that he was brought in. And he told me a long time ago, you're not the Holy Spirit in your husband's life. My husband is a jewel. He travels and takes us everywhere we need to go. But he before he got saved, Vic, he went places, and he would take the evangelists fishing but never show up in their services. He would play baseball. He played baseball on all the teams for the church, but he wasn't going to go to the church. But one day we were going to food or something that was going on. It's amazing how people go to food where they won't go to a service. That was my husband. And we're coming back, and he said, how much am I tithing? Now, this man's not even saved. And I said, well, you're not tithing anything. What do you mean, what are you tithing? You're not even saved. And it was like the blood drained out of his face. Because even though he wasn't saved, he knew the concept of giving. Mm-hmm. And he knew the concept of God. He knew there was a God, but he didn't want to serve him. And I said, I don't tithe. You don't tithe. I tithe mine, but I'm not going to tithe yours. And he says, well, you better start tithing for me. And I said, well, what do you want to tithe? He said, what I'm supposed to tithe, whatever I'm supposed to tithe. So, our lives... God has always blessed us because we've always been offering givers and tithers. And when there is a need, we fill it. And that's what God expects us to do. And I tell people, why don't we get our focus on one day? Doesn't he say, owe no man anything but love? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he say that? Why is that? Because when you owe somebody something, you are under, when you owe people, or you owe the bank, or your credit cards are way maxed out and you owe all that interest. We have never owed interest on any credit card, ever, even when we weren't saved. But you are in their boat. You are under their restraint.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God says don't owe man anything but love, because then you're not ruled by that. Vic and I don't owe anything. We're not ruled by if we have to be in a church preaching. We're not ruled by money. And I tell people, if you'll get out from underneath that, why don't we set our sights that we have a God? We have a God that is full of faith, that wants us to have our sights higher, that one day we'll have all of our houses paid for, all of our cars paid for, and one day we can pay cash for our houses, pay cash for somebody else's house, be in the kingdom to where we can help others and not get under the world system.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And that should be everybody's prayer in the kingdom.
Every church should be paid off.
Absolutely. Amen.
Every church should be paid off. And if they can't pay it off, they shouldn't overextend.
Absolutely. Not only should they be paid off, but they should be in good repair.
Yes, absolutely. They should, excellent.
You should be able to look at the church and say, wow, that is really a nice building. Not that we have to build a cathedral on every corner,
no.
But the stuff that we have should be in good repair.
I ask you, Mike, and I ask people everywhere I go, who is the church? See, we need to focus on, we have taught people that you go into the church.
Oh, the church is the people.
The church is the people.
Absolutely.
We go in as the church, and where we go, we should be providing excellence where we go. We should be bringing the light. We should be doing this. So it's a testimony to God when we walk in the excellence. We serve an excellent God, and I believe he wants to bring everybody there, but they've got to get their sights higher.
Absolutely. Well, and that in part is when Jesus says, let your light shine.
Yep.
You let your light shine through that spirit of excellence. When you are doing that which is excellent, everybody else that's half-stepping that's around you, they shine, they show up like a sore thumb because they're not doing what's excellent. And it should be the Christians should be the testimony, and their excellence, walking in excellence, should be the light that shows that everybody else is not doing what should be done.
I agree.
And when you get a group of excellence, a group of people that are all walking in excellence, oh my goodness, I think that's where the scripture means by how shall one put 1,000 to flight or two,
yes,
10,000 flight unless,
yes,
their rock be with them,
yes,
unless their God be the God of the universe, because God can cause our enemies to come in one way and flee seven ways.
Amen, brother.
And if we don't, if we're confused or we're running around with the spirit of the world, God says, wait a minute now, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy says, you're going to go in one way and you're going to flee seven ways if you're not doing things my way. But if we start getting with God and letting him be Lord and not just fire insurance, then we're going to walk in that spirit of excellence and we are really going to make an impact. And as Peter says, be always ready for an answer with those who ask for the hope that is within us. Well, let me just ask the listening audience, when is the last time anybody asked you for the hope that is within you? If we're not demonstrating a spirit of excellence, why should anybody ask for the hope that's within me?
Before I got saved, I had a very good business, very good business. And my husband did too. And I was really a hard, after I got saved, I believed the Bible, what was in the Bible, but I can't really say I liked the Christians. So God had a real, he has a sense of humor to put me preaching. I'm an only child. Now I have many, many brothers and sisters. But I didn't see, when I looked through my eyes, I didn't see excellence in the body. I didn't see that they had anything I didn't have. I saw, when a problem came in their life, they stressed, they popped pills, depression hit them, there was worry. Where's their hope? So integrity, how about integrity? They didn't pay their bills. The ones I saw, they didn't pay their bills. If they did, they were on time. And then I'd say, well, I would hear, well, God blessed me with this. Well, then if God blessed you with something, why is somebody else lacking because you're not paying your bill? I questioned these things, and it bothered me. I didn't need what they had. Mm-hmm. So, but when I got saved through a long illness of my father, and I took care of him. So I had bedroom theology for 8 months. And when I got saved, I knew the Holy Ghost, and I love the Holy Spirit. And he brought me from very, very skeptical and wanting nothing, didn't like the people, to turning me around and knowing what kingdom I was in, and going into the church and knowing that it had to be different. Well, my Jesus, like I walk the streets now, and I take food, we take food and my books, and we walk the streets. And I tell them, they say, I know Jesus. I said, if you knew the Jesus I know, you would be taking that coat and not receiving that coat. If you knew the Jesus that I know, you would be a lender and not a borrower. So I tell people, get your sights higher. You have to keep, Christians have to keep their windows clean, absolutely clean. We've got to know that we have a hope. We have a living hope. And what is Christian hope? You know, my book talks about it. That they're teaching that book everywhere. That's a very good book for people. They use it as a devotional, and faith, does it really move mountains? Hope is anticipate with pleasure that the word is going to work. You know, to the degree that you believe the scriptures is to the degree that you're going to receive the promise of that scripture.
That's exactly what God said. That's exactly what God said. As you have spoken, that is what I'm going to do for you.
There's a lot. I tell people the power of life and death is in your tongue. I know where a person is by looking at their checkbook. You can look at a person's checkbook and know where their heart is. Out of their mouth, they'll come to a healing line, and you'll pray over them. They leave saying, well, I didn't get anything, therefore, well, you won't get anything.
Yes,
power of life and death is in your tongue. It's not that we are denying that I have something, but I'm defying the devil that he's going to keep it on me, because the blood of Jesus is enough and the cross is enough. That's our living hope, the resurrection. And he's coming back, and there is a real hell and there is a real heaven, and the church better start talking about it.
Amen. Amen.
All right, listeners, we're having a break now. We want to remind you that we have sponsors to this show, Christ Today, and this sponsor is Pastor Bill Hammond of the Lighthouse Tabernacle Church in Gridley, California, on Ohio Street. He has a Sunday Bible study beginning at 9:45. And the Sunday worship services at 10:45. I hope you go and check that out. It's very nice. And then, listeners, today we are back with Christ Today and Dr. Judy Baus. And Mike Davis, would you like to continue, please?
Well, and what you're saying, I would suggest, was written in... I'm a real C.S. Lewis fan. And in Mere Christianity... He said that the problem and the question that he has when he became an apologist was, shouldn't Christians be nicer? And one of the points that he was making was that usually people, in his experience, people came to Christ because they were in crisis. And yet when God solved that initial crisis and they had enough faith to become Christian... But they never understood that God was not going to stop with them just having a testimony of faith in Christ. His ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal as we see in Romans 8 and Hebrews 5, is perfection. Perfection. We're stopping, the Christian community is stopping way short of the perfection that God has for each one of us. And we're not going to get to perfection until we make Christ Lord of our lives, not just Savior.
Amen.
And we have too many Christians that are running around treating Jesus as fire insurance.
Yep.
And he wants to perfect us in every area so that we will have a spirit of excellence in every area. So if you comment.
Well, I agree. And I tell people everywhere I go that everywhere we go, God will open up opportunity. We've seen it in the rest stops. Every time we leave somewhere, we pray and we say, God, open opportunity. Everywhere you go, there's someone that's hurting. And we have the only answers. We have the only answers. There are no answers outside of Christ. There are no answers outside of the blood of Jesus. We're going to rise because he did. We just came through Resurrection Sunday. And I always say Resurrection Sunday because that's what it is. Easter is a pagan name. It's Resurrection Sunday. And we need to start focusing more on the cross and what he did on the cross and his resurrection than we do coloring eggs. We are teaching our children that these baskets are more important than the resurrection. It is not. And when I got a hold of this, our scripture for Good News Ministries is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't Amen. Change. He's not going to change for me. People say, well, Judy, don't you know that that this is 2015 or 2016? Don't you understand that things are not different? Jesus is absolutely the same. He said don't fornicate back then, and he says don't fornicate now. He says do not be an adulterer then, and he says do not be an adulterer now. We have to get our character lined up with what God wants, and we have to get our head lined up with the head of the church. I tell people, is there any doubt or disbelief in Jesus Christ's head? Do you really believe that Jesus has any doubt or disbelief? Of course not. Does he have negative in him? Of course not. Don't you think out his mouth he's going to speak positive? Doesn't he say that he is the head of the church? Well, our head should be locked in his head, and we should be thinking his way, talking his way, speaking his way, and then the body is going to move his way. But if we don't have our head connected with his head, Jesus has no negative in him. He only has positive. He is the God of the impossible, and he hasn't changed. And if we don't get our sights higher and just believe that he can change an impossible situation, the doctor might come and say, you're going to die. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I travel all over. I spend hours on the telephone with people. I spend hours praying with people on the phone. In the RV parks, I have people that have gone from not believing in anything and can't stand me, as you just love them and are there for them, they call me now for me to pray for them. Any crisis in their situation, they call me. Why? Because they know I live what I believe. I live what I believe, and they know that I know a Jesus that can change their life. So we need to go forward with that. And if I don't have that, if I'm not willing... I was in Las Cruces, and the pastor and I were walking out, and I turned, and this man was sitting on the side there, coming out of the restaurant, and I looked at, and I could see the Holy Spirit wants to use us. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, is in you, and the Holy Spirit wants us to reach out and touch. And he's going to lead us and guide us. Doesn't he say that in John 14 and 15 or 15 and 16, that he wants to lead us into all truth? He wants to guide us. He wants to be our counselor. He'll show us the things to come. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then we've got to listen. And I looked, and I knew that man was in pain. And and I said, wait a minute, to the pastor. And I turned around, and I just went to him, and I said, you're in a lot of pain. And he said, yes. And I said, I'd be delighted to pray for you. He said, anything will help. Well, some people walk off, what do you mean anything will help? Well, let me tell you what, I've got the only help.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will plant the seed, maybe he doesn't believe, but if we will plant the seed there, it's not my job to be the Holy Ghost. It's my job to just plant the seed. If I will go and plant the seed, that's why all believers, it is so important that they just plant a seed. Maybe Jesus loves you. The greatest thing that we can ever say is Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And if we will grab hold of what Jesus did for us, and he loves us, well, then we can speak that. And one of the greatest things, and I walked away and I thought, Thank you, Lord, that you did that. But you know why people don't do that? Fear.
Fear.
Fear. Didn't he say? God did not give us a fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is a spirit.
Mm-hmm. He also said that in, I think it's Romans 8, that God has not given us a spirit of bondage, again, that we would fear, but that a spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So you're absolutely right. We have a spirit of adoption,
yep.
A spirit of belonging, a spirit of family, a spirit of God is our Father and Jesus is our older brother, and we have the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And I think it is important that the right things come out of our mind, out of our mouth, because it's what we feed into our mind and into our heart that's going to come out of our mouth. It's the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. According to Jesus, we need to speak the right things.
Well, it says that we Christians get in trouble when they're always led by their emotional realm, and they are. Christians are always in trouble because we are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. And a lot of Christians are led with their soulish realm and not with their spirit man. And if they're always running around in the compassion, I've got to be there, I've got to be here, I've got to be... No, God never said for us to run around with our compassion. He said we're known as the sons of God if we are led by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God says, Judy Bowes, I want you over there now, well, then my compassion, I go with the compassion of Jesus Christ. When I'm at Walmart, I'm always active, or I just use Walmart or wherever you are. But one day I was in Walmart, and I was leaving... It was raining. And I looked over to this lady, and the Holy Spirit said, go over there and tell her that Jesus loves her. I learned a long time ago that it is more important to please God than man.
Amen.
Too many people are moving around saying, you know, well, what are they going to think? Well, what is God thinking? What is God thinking? It doesn't matter what Judy Bowes thinks. This is what I tell people. It doesn't, I have a lot of gifts. And I can walk into a room and know. But it's not between me and your sin and God. Your sin is your sin. Mine is to stir you up, pull out your potential out of you. Well, what is God thinking about what you're doing? What is God? And so I went over there. I learned a long time ago I'd rather please God than man. I really don't care. And I said that to her, and she broke down and she cried. I said, Jesus loves you. And she cried. And she was going through horrible things with her husband's health. But if I hadn't obeyed that and went over there, then, and I prayed with her, and I said, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. But it comes first with the Spirit leading us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we speak what the Spirit wants us to speak. And the greatest thing we can say is Jesus loves you. Fear is our number one thing. And it's a spirit of fear. If fear comes in at any time, like you get, someone gets a report, they're going to die. That's from a practicing physician. All the reports might be coming in, but my time is in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
My life is in the hands of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to say. Don't allow that spirit of fear to come upon you, because God didn't give it to you. The devil gave it to you. God gives you power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind now is something that the devil is hitting, and he's causing people to their minds are running amok. Their minds, I mean, all this dementia and all of this stuff. I truly believe a lot of this stuff could be curbed if people wouldn't buy into it, if they wouldn't believe it, they would know and discount it, because sound mind, God tells me I have a sound mind. And that means I can put things together. I remember, I can comprehend. That's what a sound mind is. But if I buy into the other part of fear, I talk about it in my book about the ites. It's an excellent teaching. But the number one thing that God said to Joshua, that you're going to take over Moses' stuff, you're going to take millions of people to the promised land, but he said you're going to combat the Hittites, the only ite that he's going to have to combat first. Then he's going to have to hit the rest of them. All of us have to do that. All of us, if you want to get to the promised land, to the promises of God, you got to combat the ite. And that ite, the Hittite, means terror or afraid. He told Joshua, he's telling us. You have to get fear out of your life. People have to step on the neck of that spirit.
Well, and perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yep.
It's going to be that perfect love,
yep,
that Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God's Son that is within us, that is going to do the battle. The battle is the Lord's. We're not going to be able to fight a spiritual warfare with carnal weapons anyway. Paul says that is useless.
People say this, and they say, you know, the battle is the Lord's, it is the Lord's. But how do you think that the Lord is going to combat with us, declaring the word, declaring the blood, telling the devil, you're not going to come forward anymore, the blood is against you, speak the word, believe the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are always saying, I'm afraid, it gets in your ears and it gets in your heart. If you're always speaking that God is greater than anything that comes, there's many scriptures that carried me through the 23 years, because I wake up the same way you do. All pastors wake up the same, and it's easy to say, well, you need to do this. You know, it's a harder thing to implement it in our life. It's an easy thing for us to declare and say, but if we will speak what God speaks, and I tell people, 3 John 4:4, you are of God. And we could stop right there. You are of God. And if we would get that we are part of the creator of the universe, we are part of the one that flung the stars in the sky, we are part of the one that keeps the sea from overpowering, we are part of the one that created everything that you look at, we are of God. That is an amazing thing. And if people would stop and contemplate, don't just read the word, stop and contemplate the word, think of the word, walk the word, be in the word with him. You are of God, little children. That is a very little children. There's different words for child, but right here he's saying, be a little child. A little child will jump into a swimming pool without swimming if their parents are there to catch them. A little child will take challenges if their parents are there to help them. Our Father wants us to do that.
Well, and a lot of people will say, you know, that really sounds easy when you're sitting on the pew, but once you get out into the wild, wild world.
Been there, done that. Mike, come on. I've been there, done that. I got to do it the same way you, but it's only by the power. It says that it's alive and well. This scripture has to become rhema to us.
Yes.
It has to become,
exactly,
instead of just logos, just reading it, it's got to become the rhema, which is an essence.
Yes.
An essence, but that takes time. That takes contemplating. And you read it over and over, and it says, because he who is in you, he who is in Judy Bowes, he who is in Judy Bowes at that situation, at that moment of that bad report, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Greater is he who is in you than he who is in that report.
That's right. Because the report comes from I'm not against doctors. Matter of fact, I've been at them a lot with my mom. I'm not against doctors at all. I'm not against medication at all. But medication is simply a Band-Aid. It's simply a Band-Aid. And we need healing from the inside out. And then pretty soon, if you keep reading, then the Band-Aid is going to come off. But the practicing physician, we need God. We need the great physician, Jesus, to help us.
Amen.
Listeners, we're taking a short intermission to bring to you one of our sponsors, Pastor Mark Hicks of Calvary Christian Fellowship in Oroville on Fallbrook Street. He has the Sunday Bible study at 9:45 and Sunday worship services, at 11 o'clock. He has a nice service if you want to go there. And now, welcome back to Christ Today and our guest, Judy Bowes.
Now, let me connect a couple dots here, and then I'll have you comment on that. In Romans chapter 8, it says that if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So if you put those two together, the default is, no matter what you face, just by proclaiming Jesus is Lord over this situation,
right,
you take the power of the Holy Spirit and project God himself into that situation. So where you say, you know, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, you have just spoken God's holy word into that situation, and you are overcoming whatever situation that is simply by God, by faith in God and faith in not just God's word, but faith in the author of God's word.
Well, and the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
He's the author of the word, and we are not the Holy Spirit. And if we will take the time to allow him to change us, and that goes, when I first got saved, when you first get saved, and all Christians know this, when you first get saved, your spirit man is, that's the greatest miracle of all. It's, you are new. You are totally new.
Amen.
I'm not the same as I was. I am an absolute new person. But then I still had the same stinking thinking. I did. And you have to change that. So, you know, it says in Romans that you are not to be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I tell people all the time, this is an ongoing thing, because every day I need my mind transformed. When a report comes in, I'm going to believe the report of the world, or I'm going to believe the report of a changed mind. Now, transformation means it changes something. It makes me very, very sad when I see Christians that if they don't tell you they're a Christian, you would not know that.
Secret Service Christians.
There's a lot of Christians out there that you would not know. They look like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. They move like the world. They live like the world. And then they'll say they're Christian. Well, I challenge that. You know them by their fruit. Mm-hmm. And I truly do believe that there's a lot of people sitting in church that, I'm sorry, that they're just not going to make it. God has, and he expects us to be different. He expects us to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. He expects us. I'm accountable for the light I walk in. When I was first saved, I'm not accountable for as much as I am now. I'm accountable for a whole lot now. And pastors that are out there preaching are accountable for a whole lot. All the ministry, all of them. Anybody that is in leadership, they better get it together, because they're accountable for what they're leading people into.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, and that strikes me as, you know, you'll have two people sitting side by side in the pews. One is 8 years old in the Lord, and the other one is 1 year old eight times. And it is up to us to grow, and it is our responsibility. We have a mandate to grow, as a matter of fact. There are several places in the Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that demand that we grow,
yes, it does,
that we do not change. As a matter of fact, we're told, the psalmist says, if you don't change, if I don't see a change in you, it's because you do not respect me. God is saying, I need to see a change. If you're the same as you were 10 years ago, you're still struggling, you know, and you're not winning more victories today than you won 10 years ago, maybe we need to go ahead and examine what you're putting your faith in, because I don't see the change, and I need to see that change, you know, in your daily walk. You should be having more victories today than you did. The battles that you fight today should be much, much harder battles than what you were having to fight 10 years ago. You know, if you're still
That's right, Mike.
If you're still stumbling over the same things, then we need to examine what you're stumbling over, and we need to go ahead and address that from a scriptural standpoint, and let you now begin to renew your mind in those areas so that you can go ahead and start winning victories in those areas.
When we see it, I wasn't raised in the church at all. So when I started reading the Bible and I came into Christ, if I read it, I believed it. I've always believed that God is the God of the impossible. I didn't have any of this stuff in my mind. And there's a lot of people that are, that the things that they learn come down. They need to get in the Word. They need to see what the Word says. What is the Word saying about this situation? What should I do about this situation? So I've pretty much been a radical since I've been saved. And I thank God I haven't changed. It's mellowed, but I'm still a radical. I will always be a radical. And I like being a radical. And more Christians would enjoy their Christianity. And God says, I give you all things to enjoy. I give you all things to enjoy. We love doing what we do now the same as we did 23 years ago. It's the same. It's a call. And when everyone gets into where their niche is, I tell people when they're in a job that they just can't stand, I say, isn't that sad? That is so sad that a Christian would be in a job that they don't want to go to. Your job is your mission field. And it says in Psalms that your neighbors, my neighbors, which is wherever my bus is parked, my neighbors are living by me for safety's sake. So I know that because we are in an area, there is safety in that area. Because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have been in an area to where there's been fire. I mean, horrible fire. One road in, one road out, evacuated. Where propane tanks are everywhere in a marina. And it did not blow up. And that fire was put out by a garden hose because it was 32 miles for the nearest. We've seen miracles like that. But I said to the Lord, I hadn't been able to reach these people at the marina. Well, what is a greater way? God did not start that fire at all. But we use every opportunity of where we are for God to get into their hearts and their lives. And as we're evacuated out and all this is happening, and we got back in, nobody died, nobody was, I mean, they burned some stuff up, but it didn't go into the forest. It did not. It didn't blow any big tanks up. When we came back in, I talked to the owner of the marina, which we had been there about 7 years in a row. My husband has a fishing ministry. It was 7 years in a row. And I said to her, I looked at her and I said, Renee, you better know that was God that kept this from blowing up. And she looked at me and she said, yes, Judy, it was. You see, we have to, as Christians, identify what's going on. Yeah. And God will use every situation. The devil brought that. But instead, one time we broke down in Canada. They towed us 100 miles. Whew, parked us, of course, on a weekend, you know. The wheel bearing went out in our bus in the front tire. We were parked there. Well, there was 6 diesel mechanics, and we got the only Christian. Now, we could have gone into, why, God, we're on the road preaching, we're in Canada preaching, don't you know we gave up everything to do what you want us to do, our families and the whole thing? But he says, when you do that, he'll bless you on this earth. So I said, Vic, there's something here then. Well, he was discouraged. He had almost given up his faith. He had forgotten why he was where he was, because it was so hard. But by the time we left, he was full of joy. He was encouraged. He was back where he needed to be, telling his wife, we are back. I know that this is a mission field. Now, had we not been towed, had we not been there, how else do you get into diesel mechanics if you don't have a diesel problem?
Exactly. God opens the right door at the right time.
That's right.
And we should not grumble because we have to walk through a door that God is going to take care of us anyway.
I just always look at it like, yeah, this is might be the plan of the devil, but God's got a greater one. Mm-hmm. He always provides. He always. But then you got to look on the other side, too, that God takes care of you when people use you. They do wrong to you. People have to be very careful what they do with God's kids. I am God's child. And we had an incident that where we had problems with our brakes. And we stayed, and they charged us double when we left from what they said. Not good for them. That's not good for them when they call themselves a Christian and they charged us double when we went to pay that bill. And I looked at him and I said, and I never squabble, I said, I'm writing you a check because God provides for us, but I'm here to tell you, this isn't good for you and you won't be in business long. The next year, he was out of business working for the man. It is very important that we are very careful what we do with God's kids.
Well, and it is, and it's also very careful what we do also.
That's right.
2 Thessalonians 1:6 says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is. Jesus said it would be better that someone have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea rather than cause one of his little ones to stumble. So, you know, we have to, on our own part, be praying for those people who are, we're told, we need to pray for those who despitefully use us. Why? Because when they are despitefully using us, usually it's for something that is seen and temporal.
Yep.
Okay, we're told that the things that are seen are temporal or temporary. It's the things that are unseen that are eternal. And we need to be to understand that even these folks that are trying to take advantage of us, okay, they have an eternal soul. And Jesus is asking us to recognize and to focus on the eternal, not the temporary.
Yeah.
We need to be ministers of the eternal.
I want to clarify something. I said to him, I said, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and I said, I will pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
I will pray for you. Now, the thing that we see, it's out of love that we do that. We didn't mm-hmm. squabble. We didn't do anything because I knew God would do that. God is more concerned, and he was more humble the next year. He was closer to God the next year. It is more important. God is more concerned about our character and us getting things right. And many times he uses situations like this so it will stop a habit that they've gotten into. But that doesn't mean that we don't love them,
yes.
that we don't speak truth to them.
Yes.
But God wants these things, even in our own life. I mean, God wants, I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me. That's why I take communion every day. And I used to grow my own grapes. When I had my own house, I had my own Concord grapes. I do that because first thing in the morning, I focus on the cross. First thing in the morning, I focus on what horrible, horrible, horrible things my Jesus went through for me. The blood that he shed for me. He did that for me. So now I am going to give him all my pain, all my shame, anything, and I'm going to live for him because he paved the way. That is something that Christians need to not ever forget, that all we live so beneath what he did for us on that cross. And we need to wake up in the morning, and I do. I wake up and I say, well, okay, hell, I'm up. Heaven, I'm up. Let's go. That's how a Christian should get up. Thanking God for the very breath we breathe because he gives us that breath. And he wants us to go forward as vibrant and walking out knowing that we are the light of the world, knowing that we are the salt. And one of the scriptures that he gave me that I always, ever since when I got in ministry and always, it says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace.
Oh, amen.
If
amen.
Christians would do that, but that's also divine enablement with unmerited favor. Be seasoned with grace. Be our speech with seasoned with salt. Salt will make something sweet. It will take the horrible situation and make sweet if we are walking with our feet shod with peace and we're walking into that situation in love and knowing that our God already knew it was going to happen. We're never catching him by surprise. He knows everything. And seasoned with salt that we might know how you ought to answer each one. If we would live that scripture, every Christian, it would take most of all of the animus, the jealousy, the competition, all of that. The Christians cannot have unforgiveness in their heart. They can't have hate. They have to let go of these things. If they do not, they will never accomplish what God wants them to do. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Absolutely. And God can restore. He can restore anything.
Everything.
He created everything. There's no reason that he can't restore it. And you know, to things that are taken away from us, to relationships, to relationships with him, you know, there's nothing that God cannot restore. And we have to be those ministers of hope. Hope in a God that is much greater than we are.
Listeners, we just have another couple of minutes left, and we want to thank you, Dr. Judy Bouse, of all that you've talked with us about.
Thank
and
you.
We're very happy to have you on and hear about your good news ministry. So would you like to close this session out in a prayer?
I would love to.
Good.
Father, all these listeners that are there, we thank you for everyone listening. And if there be anyone listening that is not walking in your kingdom or saved, Father, we ask that you put your arms around them, that they come to you this day. All of our listeners that are out there, Father, let them go to a higher level today with you. Let them choose to want to walk forward in all that you have for them. Father, I ask you to bring the covenant very real to them. Let your covenant of health and provision be with each and every one of them, Father. You know their needs, you know our needs, and we ask you, Father, to bless this radio ministry. Bless it, Father, and let it just go forward through the airwaves. And Father, we just love you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your blood. And we rise up today, walking in your goodness and your grace, knowing how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.